October 17, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Brother Matt still in the Love Grotto, a couple miles south of Pleasure Point, because we're in quite quarantino mode, but I am not totally man alone because of the incredible invention from them Skype engineers in Estonia. I got Peter with me from Atlanta. What time are you talking to me from, Peter?
It's 8 o'clock in the evening over here in the Netherlands.
No, what town?
Oh, which town? Arnhem.
Arnhem.
Arnhem. It's close to Nijmegen.
I know a little bit about Arnhem because of the bridges, right?
Yeah.
The bridge.
That's it.
The bridge too far. And Nijmegen, people, listeners out there, this is kind of the southeast part of Holland, or Netherlands. And because actually Holland is the west part.
Yes.
Right. Netherlands is a collection of, you know, like United States. It's got these little groups. And Nijmegen, Doornen Roos, so many gigs I did there.
So you played there, I think, maybe 5 or 6 times over the years.
Right.
Yes.
The Red Door.
Yeah. The Red Door.
Yeah. Nijmegen is known as kind of a college town.
It's a college town, yes. And I live in Arnhem. That's, well, you can do it on a bike. It's a few miles from Nijmegen. And that's the state capital where Nijmegen is in as well. So and it's more like a more working class town.
Yeah.
And a little college.
Although I've never played in Arnhem.
Never played in Arnhem before? Okay,
no,
well.
But I was close. I was close. And then we shared a stage. And this was a rare kind of gig for me because Holland don't have a lot of countryside. But this gig was kind of out in the wilderness. This guy from the old days, well, his family is from the old days, let this festival go on. It was great.
Oh, you remember that? Yeah.
That's what we met. It was Cuz.
Yeah, with Cuz. Exactly. Yeah. I booked you that show over there at a festival.
That's right. And it was kind of out wilderness, right, for Netherlands.
Yeah, that's the area where I grew up. I come from a very small town in the east of the Netherlands, and that's where the festival was. It was in a kind of forest, meadow kind of scenery.
Yeah, it was very cool of the cat to donate the land for that. That was very happening.
It's from a baron, a kind of
baron. The old days of organizing the buses. Right, because there's another Dutch town they just say Den Bosch, but it's like the Duke's Woods, and it's famous because of the painter man, Hieronymus, because Bosch means woods in their language.
Exactly.
Right.
He's on your...
Well, it's very, very, really big on me, right? My whole third opera I owe Mr. Bosch because I used 30 of his little creatures as a metaphor.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny, though, the three of the main paintings that I used, like 90% of the little men, 27 of them, one's in Lisbon, one's in Vienna, and one's in Madrid, because other people collected them, you know. Also, there's a history of out-of-town bosses and stuff. It's a Dutch history is very interesting, like everywhere. But let's go into your history. What's, Peter, tell me your earliest musical memory.
I think it is, just at home with my parents. Like I said, I come from a very small town in the east part of the Netherlands. It's considered a bit of a rural area, working class, redneck area. And my earliest musical experience was just listening to my dad's record collection, Rolling Stones, CCR, and classic rock, I guess. So, yes, and there wasn't a lot of music around.
So was your pop a listener, or did he also play?
No, I didn't. He didn't play. He was a listener, but my dad worked in construction, so it was just always music on the background, but just AM radio and a little record collection from when he was young. But nobody played at my house.
And there was no instruments?
No, my sister tried to play guitar a few years, but it didn't work out. And she had some music lessons, but there weren't a lot of instruments around. Not in my neighborhood, not in my home. It's just.
What about at school? Were you in the band or the choir?
When high school,
yeah.
I started playing fairly late. I guess when I was 14, I started playing drums. I started out as a drummer. Now I play mostly guitar.
But how did that happen? How'd you get on the drums?
Well, there was a funny story. It's not really funny, but my high school music teacher, he played drums in the classroom.
He had a drum set in the classroom.
He had a drum set in the classroom, and he played just, I guess, a kind of bossa nova rhythm. And something hit me, and I thought, well, it's time for me to become a drummer.
So he served as a good, not just an example, but an inspiration.
Well, it wasn't a very inspiring guy, but that moment, he was, I think that out of a few seconds in his life, he was inspiring somebody.
Okay. Now, did you go and buy a drum set?
Yeah, I saved some money, and I worked in the supermarket, and I bought my first drum set, and a few months later, I played in my first band with my best buddy Renze. I'm at his place now. So he's sitting next to me. Still good friends. So that was my first band when I was, I think, 15 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you the music. We played Eastbound from John Coltrane, and then Marabou Blues mm-hmm. From the New Atlanta album.
Thank you.
But yeah, because I want to get I want to play now Dog Whistle Concert number 5 in E minor from Atlanta.
And I was looking for you all day.
Thank you.
off for Pedro Show. That was Atlanta from their new record, Dog Whistle Concert number 5 in E minor. And then we had CPI. They got brand new stuff, Walking and Falling. Panther Paw from Brighton, England. That's Brother Sam's from. Mike there, he's switching over from bass to guitar. God, how many times have I seen that happen? And then finally, now this is a Dutch word here, so Potsigel, Quist. The IJ people is their Y. So Quist?
Great.
Quist. Yeah, okay, I fucked that. At least I didn't make the WV like German. So Quake. Quake. Okay.
Yeah, like,
and what's that translate to, Peter?
Sorry?
Potsigel Quake.
Yeah, Potsigel Quake.
Yeah. So how would that translate in English?
Oh man, it sounds very stupid in English. It's called a lost stamp.
Ah.
But there's a whole story behind it, so I won't bother you with that. But
that's okay, but that don't sound lost stamp. You know, like lost sock. You know, that things happen. So let's get back to your music journey. So your first band, you were a drummer, man. And what was the name of this band?
Oh man, we had lots of names. We call ourselves Eat the Leek and Titchwood, but we were very crappy, some kind of proggy punk rock outfits. We were the worst band you ever heard.
Did you do? Was it just practice, or did you end up doing any gigs?
Yeah, we did some gigs, but the area where we're from, there weren't a lot of places to play. And when we did a gig, people would request blues covers or Deep Purple covers or stuff like that. They weren't
Hocus really Pocus. Focus.
Yeah, Focus. Well,
you know, they were big when I was a teenager. They had a huge hit here called Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, that's a kind of a real Dutch classic. And then, I like this. It's a nice band, but
the guitar man ended up being a big prog guy, Jan Ackerman.
He is. He's still playing, but he's playing very slick fusion stuff the last 20 years.
Yeah, something like that. He did make a good record with John Abercrombie, I remember hearing.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
You remember that. Okay. Tell me about the first gig that you guys did. People were asking for other songs.
Well, we did, the first gig that we did was at our high school. The school existed 50 years, so we had the honor to play some music, then, and we didn't have a bass player. We had an organ, two guitars and drums, and nobody was listening, and we were just bashing in the background.
maybe the organ guy did bass with his left hand.
No, he couldn't play that well, so we were very lousy then. So,
you know why I say that? Because when I saw Ronnie Montrose, he had Sammy Hagar singing, and they had no bass man, and the organ guy was, I think the Doors used to do this sometimes too.
Yeah, the Doors used to do it as well, yeah, but we were just kids playing, and we, you know, influenced by bands like Mudhoney and Nirvana, typical 90s stuff, and we just tried to spice it up with some.
Yeah, because organ's a little different. Those were guitar bands.
Yeah, so that was our thing, I guess, but nobody was interested in us. We were very lonely, desperate teenagers.
But Peter, you got to start somewhere, like skateboarding, right? You don't just start doing ollies. You gotta fall down a few times. Look, when I first musically met you, you were playing bass for Automatic Sam, right?
No, I was a singer in Automatic Sam,
okay,
and a guitar player.
The singer guitar. Okay, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, my memory sometimes is fault. You know, the good thing about Alzheimer's, you're always meeting new people, hearing new bands. But anyway, when did that band happen? Was that much down the road?
That's a few years later. I moved out of that area where I grew up, and I ended up studying music. I went to a conservatory. Is that an English word? A conservatory. I studied drums over there. So I've got I've got a degree in music, and I got my degree as a drummer. And my guitar playing started later, my serious guitar playing, because I didn't like the songs in the bands which I was drumming. So I guessed maybe I should give it a shot myself and try to write some songs. So
your switch from drums to guitar,
yeah,
was because you didn't like what was hearing coming from your guitar guys.
Yeah, more or less. Well, I like that stuff, but I always thought, man, I hear different stuff in my head, I have to do, as long as I'm not satisfied with the music I'm playing, maybe I should give it a shot myself. So that was the reason I started playing guitar seriously.
You know, I got a rock and roll theory. If you can play drums good, you can play anything good, because it's all rhythm music.
In rock and roll, it's rhythm is the most important part.
That's
so
right. So if you got the drums going, you can like bring that over. And it's so funny that the stereotype is the drummer is a retarded, idiot, stupid man, when he's got all the power because of the beat. And if you notice, I like to put the drummers up front. That's a big mistake the Minutemen made. We should have never had George Hurley in the back. He should have been right up front. That's what I do these days. So you go over to guitar. And I guess that band was over, right, with the organ and the two guitar guys.
It was years ago. That was in my teens,
right.
And then I went to study music. So
right. After your degree is when you begin a guitar band.
Yeah, and when I got my degree, I did some awful stuff just to pay rent. I played drums in a cover band, did awful session work with very top 40 stuff, just like a recording session drummer.
Yeah.
And it wasn't satisfying at all. And,
no, but at least you could keep your chops up.
Yeah, it's good for your chops, but it's not good for your mind.
I always think whenever you play, even if it's something you don't like, you're invested in the next time you play.
That's it. Wise words. I totally agree with that.
It's never wasted, because whenever you're doing something musical, even if you don't like it, you're working towards the next time, and that might be a place that you do like it. So tell me about Automatic Sam.
Yeah, when I got my degree and in my mid-20s, I was living in the South, in Tilburg. That's where I studied, and that's where I saw you play with
that's an important gig. I've played that town only one time, and it was with Ron and Scott Ash and Jay Maskus. And that's one of the gigs that Ig heard about and asked for the reunion to happen.
Yes, you told me that at the festival. That was just so cool to hear that, because I was there in the audience. So it was a very special night for me as well. So to see you guys play together.
So Automatic Sam was a Tilburg band.
No, not at all. But I wanted to play with my old buddies from my childhood. So the drummer in Automatic Sam, he's a related, he's family, he's a cousin, and my buddy Renze. I asked him to play with me again, and my buddy Harm. And I wanted to move back home. I was done in the South in Tilburg. So that was the reason. I just want to play my own songs with my friends. From way back when, and actually then I've got a really small musical career, but then stuff started to happen for me. All those recording sessions and studying music, I wasn't going nowhere. But when I moved back to the East and I started playing music with my old friends again, then good stuff started happening again. So it was a good decision after all.
Okay, so what you're trying to say, it wasn't wasted?
No, not at all. But I wasn't fit for the working drummer type of thing. That's not me. I'm a creative guy. I'm not a virtuoso at drums and not at guitar. But I needed to go back home and play with my friends and do my own stuff and
understand. You put in your time, you did your shift, and you pulled your shift as enough. There's no longer an Automatic Sam, so what happened?
Well, I guess we just bummed out after I think 10 or 11 years. We had it's almost a kind of spinal turned out in a kind of a spinal tap story, like every band, I guess. We had seven drummers, a lot of lineup changes, two bass players, and I was done. I was kind of burned out after all those years. And we played at a pretty big festival in the Netherlands, and after a show, I was taking a piss in the woods over there backstage, and I was thinking, I'm done with this as a lead singer, and I saw my booking agent and my manager standing over there, and I was just done with those people, all the talking. I was just done. I wanted to go underground, I guess, again. So
even though it wasn't as much as that stuff you did before, it was still,
yeah.
Because you gave me some music. I played Automatic Sam on the show. And
it's
stuff.
Big.
Yeah, good stuff. And but you know, some things, yeah, they only have a shelf life for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time. So you left the band, or the band just broke up?
Well, I wanted to leave the band, and I started the band with Renze, my buddy Renze, and I said to him, I want to quit. If you want to go on, I don't need the money we've saved up. Just go if you want to. But he said, if you're gonna quit, I'm quitting as well. So it was over in one night. Yeah.
Well, you know, I always wondered about the name. Did it have anything to do with T-Rex?
No, you mean Telegram Sam, the song.
Because, you know, the first gig me and D. Boone ever saw was T-Rex, so I was...
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Cool.
1973.
No, it's from a Captain Beefheart lyric from the song Terror Plane.
Oh, yeah, of course, Terror Plane.
Yes, and it's improvisational lyrics, and maybe you know the track. It's 20 minutes long or 25 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he would write these huge old poems and then bring them to the music and stuff. I recommend the Mike Barnes book on Cat Beefheart. It's really incredible.
I've read it.
Yeah. And, that period, that's with the two versions of Strictly Personal, and it ended up being a Mirror Man and 20th Century Quaker. And
it's an awesome song.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and that's where the band has kind of got a couple guys from the old days still, and then the young guys.
It's my favorite Beefheart era, actually. Everybody's talking about the Trautmaster replica stuff, and I like that as well, but I like the fucked up blues psychedelic freak show.
There was more blues. You're right, there was more blues. By the time of that Trautmaster, the only thing blues is the Howlin' Wolf voice, kind of.
Yeah.
But it was always a weird mix. I'm always a big fan. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 17, 2020 edition. Watt from Peter Show, special guest Peter from Atlanta. Hold tight for hour two.
What did
October 17, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Peter Show.
right here in my arms. I got my bundle of joy. I'm a real proud papa. Yes, I'm a happy boy. She's 6 months old. She makes funny little sounds. As we make our rounds, I'm carrying my baby, carrying my baby round town. We go to the park, sit her down on the ground. She stares at the big kids. Points at a big dog. She waves to the trucks. I'm carrying my baby, carrying my baby round town. Yeah. Old ladies, stop us. Stop us on the street. They all wanna meet. They say she's the cutest little thing I think they've ever met. You see this lady coming over here now. She's gonna say the same thing, I bet. Sometimes my baby, carrying my baby. She's getting hungry, I think. And it's only mama who's got the stuff she wants to drink. But we'll be back out tomorrow if the weather is good. We'll take another stroll around the neighborhood. And I'll be carrying my baby. I'll be carrying my baby, carrying my baby round town.
Lot from Pete Rocher start off the second hour with Firefly Lullaby from Atlanta. Sam Bennett after that, Carry My Baby Round Town, and then Honolulu Strut from Atlanta. Off-air people, we're talking about Captain and the different magic bands. I think there was 43 altogether.
Oh, wow.
Right. Well, Radar Station, right? There's a great website.
Yeah,
I know it.
Yeah.
Right, beefheart.com and at the Radar Station. They go through all these. And the thing about the Mike Barnes book, you can actually go to youtube.com and listen to every one of those songs as he's talking about them, because he talks about recording almost every tune of the 17 records, right? No, 12 records, 17 years, 43 bands. Sometimes it's the magic band. Sometimes it's his magic band.
Mm-hmm.
Most time his. Anyway, let's talk about Atlanta. So Atlanta comes from the ashes of Automatic Sam.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, when I quit Automatic Sam, well, we did fairly well with Automatic Sam in the Netherlands and in Europe, and we toured a lot. But I was just done with the maybe industry side of it. I'm not very good in English, but I hope you know what I mean.
No, you're very good. Don't worry. Yeah, you're talking about the dirt behind the Daydream.
That's it. And then I quit Automatic Sam, and I deleted all my social media accounts. I just needed some, rest. I wanted to be not publicly playing music. So I did a lot of experimental stuff, and the drummer in Atlanta, that's my cousin Bob, and he played in Automatic Sam as well on the first two records, and I just asked him to jam with me again, and it was in the studio. We just recorded it, and the guy on bass is a friend from the past as well, Sebastian. And it turned out so great, and it felt so nice, and we just started playing music, and we released our first album, and the second album is out now, and I feel like I'm back on track again as well. I guess I needed some rest or some time for myself, and now it's really great to play again. Well, I'm not playing now with all this COVID bullshit, but you know what I mean. To play in a band again and to be serious about it.
What was the first Atlanta gig like?
Actually, it was at the same festival as where we met at Mayana Festival in the festival where you played at the Baron's Garden. You know?
Right, in the woods, yeah.
The woods, that's where we played. We played at night in a little tippy tent. And we just put out our first record on tape, 50 tape, just for fun, to give it away for free. And it was, it's a bit weird to say about your own gigs, but it was an amazing experience because we only improvised. Maybe that's good to mention. Every song you just played on your radio show, we never play that stuff live. We just start and we don't... we don't talk about keys or time signatures. We just start playing sounds, and then we come up with this stuff. So we do that on stage and in the studio. So it was a big experiment for us as well. So to do the first gig, completely improvisational, and there was a very very special experience for me personally to do it the first time in front of a public.
Yeah, and I want to play Benacus Suite Part 2.
Yes, that's from the first record, Benacus Suite. Yeah.
Okay, I was close. for Pedro show. We're talking about all the different words for dicks in both our languages. Okay. That was, Bene Così Suita, part two. Don't know what, we'll play part one at the end, people. I know I played them out of order, but that was on purpose. And it uses part of his dialect because being in the East there, it's different. It's tough for Amsterdam and Den Haag people to understand them. Then we had Bullets or Balloons from Spokanistan doing Blasters and Funeral at the Beach, Atlanta. So improvised the recordings. The gigs likewise are improvised.
Yes, they are.
And because I was going to say, the sound is so much different than Automatic Sam.
Yeah, it is, less instruments. So, and there are no overdubs on any of the recordings. It's just drums, bass, and guitar, and it's instrumental music and improvised. So, well, with Automatic Sam, we were singing with four guys.
Yeah. It was more.
Guys did harmony.
Yeah, kind of more what we used to at a contemporary rock. And this is, for example, inspiration for Atlanta, other bands, people. Did you ever listen to Greg Ginn and Gone?
Of course, yeah. I'm a big Greg Ginn fan. He's one of my favorite guitar players.
Yeah.
And
you know, they had a Dutch sound man for a long time, and so did Henry after.
Yeah, Theo van Inberg.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, small world.
I know Theo pretty well, so he's from Eindhoven. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Now, the club there used to be, or maybe it's still there, FNAR?
Yes, it's still there, but they built a new one. So now it's some anonymous industrial building. The old building is closed now, unfortunately.
Oh, there was a lot of character to that. The same thing happened in Utrecht with the Tivoli.
Yes, the same thing happened over there. And that's what is happening in the Netherlands now. They are killing the clubs slow, but they are doing it. So a lot of regulations over here with DBs and with the sound and the opening hours. So it's becoming very regulated over here, unfortunately.
Also this idea of gentrified.
What's that?
Yeah, gentrified. They'll take an old neighborhood, a beat-up neighborhood, usually artist kind of thing, and then they turn it into yuppie land.
Yes, I live in such a neighborhood, unfortunately. I live between the yuppies, yeah. So
because,
I'm not
a
yuppie myself, I think. But yeah.
Well, they kind of covet the art and the culture, but then they go and they sterilize it with all this, kind of bland beige. Yeah,
pastel.
right. So humans, we kind of share this kind of unquality. Quality. Yeah, it's kind of
so, yeah.
But you know, funny thing about nature, if you want a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So these guys might be just planting seeds for something good down the road.
That's what I think, yes. Because in the neighborhood where I live in one of the last rental houses, and it's all the yuppies are coming. So, yes, last man standing in my neighborhood.
Yeah, and it probably shows up in your art, in your expression.
Well, it's because I play improvised music now.
Well, I'm not saying it's obvious, but there's probably an undercurrent.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. I have to ask Gensi for the English words. What's Kluizenaar in Engels?
Hermit.
I live like a hermit.
Ah,
you know, so,
yeah. So do I.
Really live like a hermit. I don't have social media accounts. I don't have TV. So I read and play music. I like reading books and playing music. So when I'm living in my yuppie neighborhood, it's very fun to get out with Alana and play improvised music so I can express all the things I have.
You're in a thermos bottle. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. It's October 17, 2020, Dishwap Peter Show. Hold, a special guest, Peter from Atlanta. Hold tight for hour three. October 17, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Started the third hour off with Damnate from Atlanta, and then Crane with Undercover, and then Tree Huggers and Hellraisers. And that's not the ZZ Top song. Atlanta. You know what I'm talking about, right, Trace Holmberg?
That's our little joke. So you've got the joke. That's our version.
Okay, so it had something to do with. That's my favorite ZZ Top album. I like Fandango, but
for us as well. So that's why because it's improvised and instrumental. We had to come up with lyrics, and we are a trio as well. So we are really big ZZ Top fans, and that's our favorite ZZ Top record. So we thought it would be a nice nod to the. A little old band from Texas, so that's why we came up with that title.
So you're into Billy Gibbons.
Yeah, who is it?
Yeah, I love him. But you know, who do you think Billy Gibbons? I got to meet him in Monaco. He's a great guy. All three of them, Frank and Dusty. Frank and Dusty are Dallas guys, but Billy's Houston. And you know, big influence on him from Houston. Lightning Hopkins.
Oh, wow, okay.
You didn't know that. Now, Lightning, a lot of those licks... You know, he learned from him, but he played on acoustic. Lightning didn't do a lot of electric guitar. So if you can imagine those licks on acoustic.
But he was taught guitar in person by Lightning Hopkins or by listening to the records?
No, there's stories about that, you know, if you got Lightning a little licker, he would show you stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know... Just to show. Some people, yeah, they want a guard. I heard Robert Johnson used to turn around and not let you see his hands. But, yeah, a lot of Lightning Hopkins and great stuff, you know. I heard it on the X and LaGrange and those kind of little, those guitar licks, you know. Great bass playing with Dusty, too. Him and Frank were in a blues band. Because I don't know if you've ever heard of the Moving Sidewalks.
Yes, I did. That's the band of Ron Ashton, right? The first band?
What is Billy Gibbons? Ron Ashton's in the Stooges.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know Ron Ashton is in the Stooges. I thought it was the name of the Ron's first band. But,
no, it's Billy Gibbons' first band. And he opened up for Jimmy. This is where he met Jimi Hendrix. But they were like kind of trying to be England psychic. They even did a cover of a Beatles song and stuff. So you can't hear any ZZ in it. It's really strange. It's around the time of the Red Crayola. You know, the Red Crayola goes back to those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I want to dust my shroom.
Like dust my broom.
Right. Some more blues, huh?
Thank you.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Dust Mushroom from Atlanta. So do the titles come last or first?
Most of the time they come last. And most of the time I make the selection of all the jams. And for the last records, I just play, I live like a hermit, so I just play the music a lot when it's finished. And try to come up with some original titles or some little inside jokes or references to stuff around me. So stuff that I read or places that I've been. And there's most of the times titles at last.
Yeah. We had Hi Maya after that with Awareness Now. And finally, part one of Benicasuita, part one. Right. Atlanta. And you guys working on a third? Well, when you get ready to record, you don't have to practice. Well, you can practice jamming, but you don't have to work on getting parts together, right? Because it's important.
No, we never practice. We only play. So every time we come together, we always record. So we've got enough stuff for, lots of albums. So it's a jam band, you know. So every time we play and there's a microphone around, we can make another album. So we never practice.
You know, Perkins, I was in a band with Perkins and Nels Klein, Steve Perkins, called Banyan. And the same thing, no practice. You just show up the gig and start improvising. So is there a third record in the works then?
Well, not yet, because of all this COVID madness. It's the same over here as where you are, of course.
Yeah, so but that's not stopping me from composing and recording. In fact, I'm doing more of that now because there is no gigs.
I'm working on a solo record now, so I can do that on my own in the studio, but there's regulations over here that you can be with too much people in a studio. So we can't go to a studio to record, or we can't do any shows.
Same. It's smart to do. You don't want to fucking catch that shit. So I'm doing this alone. I got a Pro Tools thing in my pad. I call it Studio Thunder Pants. Now, of course, I can't have a drummer. I live in an apartment, so I can't have some Pounderoni. But I can do all the other shit.
Yeah, nice. Well, I don't record music myself. I'm not into the technical stuff. I only play. I practice a lot. I've never hated practicing. Never hated practicing drums. Never hated practicing guitars. So I do that a lot, and I write a lot of stuff. And I'm recording a solo record now. But with Atlanta, we can't go to a studio now, so we had to postpone a tour, and all the gigs are gone. So
but
what's
I
the
know,
same?
I know, but
you know, every
yeah,
musician.
And everybody, you know, just moaning about that shit. Look, we don't get to live forever, too. There's certain kind of limitations that life throws out at you. So I understand about all those things. So, but I'm trying to be creative or trying to promote being creative. Because, yeah, you can get so down and bummed out about this shit that it could be almost hopeless. But I don't think that's a good philosophy, maybe.
Well, I totally agree. I don't feel hopeless at all, but it's I miss playing live, but everybody does. But that's it. And just gonna have to get through this.
Well, tell me about this solo record. Is this improvised or is this got singing in it and stuff?
Yeah, singing in it, and I play all the instruments myself. And 7 songs. I've recorded 7 songs, and yesterday I've sang 5 songs. They're ready to mix, and it has some stuff lying around. It's pretty. It sounds a bit sentimental, but it's a pretty personal record. And it's the first time I'm all by myself in a real studio. I did some home recording and some lo-fi stuff back a few years back, and I've released that as well. But now I'm making a real solo record, and it's very inspiring to do. Yeah, it's you know how it is. You've done it a lot. So
I'm curious. You know, people I know, Dave Grohl, And then people I don't know, like Stevie Wonder and Prince, they've made records where they play everything, and the first thing they do is the drums. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I'm a drummer at heart. Drums is my first passion. And
I'm talking about the way of doing things, making this record all by yourself. Is the drums the first thing you put on?
Yeah, that's for me the same, but I do it because that is I'm a drummer at heart. That's why I wanted to add that. I have to start with the drums. The drums are the most important thing for me in a song. And I made drum arrangements and all that. So it's just one take, bash it out. I can do it very quickly. And when I have to do singing or guitar, then the shit happens.
Peter, when you get done with this record, will you come back on the show and we can play it all and talk about it?
Oh, wow. That would be, I would be honest. Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
It'd be big honor for me, man. I'm into, like, people that are motivated, even if they do live like hermits like me and you. People, it's been the October 17, 2020 edition of Out for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.